Stick it in your face. It comes from the place you're living. Stick it in your face. It comes from the place you're living. Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Pat. We are with North Coast Food Web, working to build healthy communities in our region through food and agriculture.
Joining us today is Pete Roscoe. He's the owner of Fulio's Restaurant here in Astoria. And we are so excited because Peter is going to be hosting a big night dinner this coming Saturday in conjunction with North Coast Food Web's Food Film Festival showing of the film Big Night later that night. So welcome.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So, Peter, before we jump in and start talking about Big Night, it's always nice to share with our listeners what your connection is to the North Coast. How'd you wind up here?
Well, my dad was in the Navy. He was a career Navy guy, and we lived in Coronado back in 1956. He got stationed at Tongue Point, and so we moved here, and we lived on the out at Tongue Point, and he retired in 1959, and we moved into a house in Astoria on 16th Street. And so my siblings and I all went to Star of the Sea and graduated from high school there, and that was it.
And then went off into the world.
And then off into the world. And but of all my siblings, this place was always kind of the place for me. I mean, I was kind of a wild little kid out on the base and running around out in the woods. It was my pleasure to have the woods at Tongue Point as my playground. And, you know, I just loved it. And
must have been an amazing place to grow up back then.
It was pretty cool, yeah.
I love that thing about Astoria. There's something that just captivates some people and really makes you want to be here. So you were away for a while.
I went all over. I mean, I kind of traveled the world. I was in the Navy. I had a lot of adventures, and I've always been a writer, and so I kind of went out adventuring. But I always knew that at some point I wanted to come back here and
your lovely wife was amenable to that?
Not at first. We met in Los Angeles, actually. And
that's a transition.
It's a big change. You
know, I met her in Beverly Hills.
Oh, dear.
And you know, that was...
It's a bit of a cultural shift.
That was all part of kind of the connection with Big Night. And I had ended up in Los Angeles. I wrote a couple of scripts. I worked on some movies. I worked on a movie here, The Black Stallion. I was very involved in Animal House in Eugene. And I lived in Eugene in the 1970s and have still a lot of friends there, but... You know, one thing led to another, and I was in Hollywood and pursuing a film career, and I ended up, I was a writer on this show called The Street, and Stanley Tucci, early in his career, was one of the actors in The Street. The Street was kind of a cross between Adam 12 and Hill Street Blues. And anyway... One thing led to another, and I was back in 1992. I returned to Oregon with my family, and I was a chef at a couple of places, and then I opened my own little restaurant, an Italian restaurant, and it was like a videotape of Big Night. It was, you know, I was struggling. It was my first year.
As many restaurant owners do.
And, you know, I'd be sitting there on a Friday night and have my staff, you know, four or five people on getting paid, and it'd be 7 o'clock and we'd have no customers. And a block away, there was this other Italian restaurant that had for many years been an institution, just like Ian Holm's place in the movie. And it really wasn't very good food. You know, I didn't know what to do, and so the movie came out, Big Night, and I went and saw it at the Coin Center on Sunday night, and there were like three people in the audience, Harold and Arlene Snitzer, and this other chef and I were sitting there together, and I said, I can do that. I could do this. I could do this meal. And so I thought to myself, gee, if I get, maybe if I can get 16 people at $40 a head, it'll be just enough money for me to kind of scrape by. And this was in early September of 1996. Mm-hmm. And so a half Monday I went in and I called my old writing partner, and he made some calls. And the next thing I knew, I was in touch with the producers, and they sent me a script, which I auctioned off and donated to the Northwest Film Study Center, and a poster and a CD, which I still have. And I got the permission, and Jonathan Nicholas put a little one-paragraph blurb in his column, and I came to work, and it changed my life.
Wow.
It took me over an hour to listen to the 9 messages because the phone kept ringing.
Oh, wow.
And so by the third phone call, I was taking, it was a $40 ticket in those days. I was taking $10 of the $40 as a reservation fee, and suddenly I had
cash flow.
Cash flow. Yeah, I had this cash flow. By noon, I had sold out the first dinner. By the end of the day, I had 2.5 of these dinners sold out, 40 people each. And by the end of the week, we were sold out through Christmas, and it really, it changed my life.
Because
we were
incredible.
Closed on Mondays. And I did it every... We had to take a break just because at a certain point it was time for a little break. But essentially, we did it every Monday night for 2 years in a row.
Wow. It's amazing how one thing, like one idea, sparks something and it becomes this pivotal moment.
Yeah, it was really something. It was, and I closed that restaurant in 2002. And the last week I was open, I did big night cooking classes. I did the last big night dinners. The last meal we served at that restaurant was a big night dinner. That was the first one that sold out.
Wow. Wow.
I still get people all the time come from Portland or other places, and they say, we came there. We love that. We remember it. And
that's great. So for people who haven't seen the movie, talk about the dinner.
Well, the dinner the dinner is kind of structurally within the film. The dinner is the event around which all the action flows. Mm-hmm. And so...
And the dinner is the restaurateur's sort of last-ditch effort to save their restaurant.
It is. It's a... their competitor is... I'm not going to ruin the film, but they get talked into doing this dinner... And so Tony Shalhoub, who plays Primo, the older brother and the chef, to Stanley Tucci, who is Secundo, who's sort of the front of the house, he's the more American of the two Italian brothers.
And, two great actors. Love
great him. Actors. All those actors in that movie are great. And anyway, he decides to do the whole thing that he can do, the best that he can do. And so there's an appetizer course. This meal, the big night dinner that I'll be executing on Saturday, is an appetizer course. So when everybody comes, you can just sort of schmooze and mingle. And then the first course is a tricolored risotto, and it's all served kind of family style.
Nice.
So the risotto will come out on platters, and every 4 or 5 people share from those platters. That's a red, white, and green risotto, just like the Italian flag.
Nice.
The next course is the one of the things that everybody oohs and ahs about is the timpano.
Yes.
And the timpano is, I call it the Italian version of shepherd's pie.
And that's a great description.
And so... then the next thing is a whole roasted chickens, and then the next course is a roasted suckling pig with some side vegetables, and finally dessert. And during this meal,
what's for dessert?
Dessert traditionally has been served a cheese and fruit.
Because, God, you would need something light after all of
that. You're not going to get into a big panna cotta or creme brulees or anything like that. It's usually a cheese and fruit.
That's my favorite dessert.
And so,
how long does it take to make this dinner? Man.
Well, there are different components to it. I don't know how to answer that question. Yeah. I know it takes about at least 8 hours to cook the pig. And so that's the first thing you got to do. But if you have some of the other things that go in the timpano, the timpano is stuffed with all these delicious ingredients, penne pasta with some ragu and some whole hard-boiled eggs and a layer of some grilled zucchini and spinach and roasted bell peppers and
roasted shallots
and things like that.
Wow.
So,
that just sounds
and then
so
I
incredible.
Usually make a little a gastrique, a reduction of balsamic vinegar and red wine with some rosemary and mushroom and a little bit of sugar, and it becomes kind of like a syrup that goes with the timpano.
Yep. So, Peter, one of the things that I just wanted to mention, we so appreciate your generosity in doing this dinner just because it really sounds fun. But so everyone knows, too, there's a portion of each reservation that's sold that is being donated to North Coast Food Web to support our It Takes a Kitchen, the build out of the commercial kitchen at our new building. So thank you so much.
No problem.
You know what?
The idea I had for this when I saw your series of films culminating with Big Night, I go, well, I can do that. I can help that.
I can do that again.
So how long is it? How long has it been since you've done one of these dinners?
Well, I did one at Fulio's when the first year I was open.
Yeah,
which was
I opened in 2003, and so I did one. I really haven't. That was the last time.
Wow. Yeah.
But actually, that's not quite true. Some friends of mine that are very involved in the Portland Opera have asked me several times to do a big night dinner at their house as an auction for the Portland Opera. So I've actually they have a great house out on Salvia Island. Uh-huh. So I've gone there three or four times to do one at their house.
You were mentioning that you were actually flown down to Los Angeles to do this.
Not Los Angeles. I was down to the Bay Area.
To the Bay Area.
Yeah, I was flown down to the Bay Area to do one as an auction. And I got hired to do one at the University Club.
Wow.
In Portland, downtown nice. Portland, yeah. For 300 people.
That just blows my mind.
How many pigs was that?
Well, actually, the chef, Willie Mardzin, was the chef then, and he was. He said, well, we're going to do pork tenderloins.
Okay.
That seems like a good decision for 300 people.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's crazy. To try and serve, and was that served family style?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But they had a whole staff to help me.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been an amazing experience.
Sometimes when you do these big things like this with a big staff and kitchen, as the visiting chef, you kind of lay out the template, and then the staff and their chef and his staff make sure that they duplicate what you want. And so, you know, you don't physically have to be the one guy that does it all. In this case, I'll kind of have my kitchen staff, but I'll pretty much do the whole thing.
Wow, that's
not that hard. I mean, I've done several hundred of these meals. Let me tell you something. In my career, I've done more of these meals than I worked in some of the kitchens that I was in.
Okay.
You know, you come and go in this business sometimes.
Well, on that note, I just want to take a moment to pause and say that you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5. We're also streaming live at coastradio.org, and you can listen using the TuneIn app on the mobile device of your choice. And if you are just joining us, we are talking today with Pete Roscoe of Fulio's Restaurant. He's going to be hosting a Big Night dinner. So this is a replica of the meal in the film Big Night that North Coast Food Web is going to be showing later in the evening this coming Saturday on the 11th. And it's going to be showing at the Columbian Theater at usually the doors open around 9 and the film's at 9:30. There will be, if you haven't gone to the dinner and you still have room for snacks, there will be movie-themed appetizers. And I know that the Voodoo Room has been doing a themed cocktail to go with each of our Food Film Festival movies. So it should be a good celebration. I hear, though, now that we're tempting everybody with this meal, and I feel kind of badly about this because I believe you might be sold out.
I think we are sold out. There's a couple of people that have asked to be on the waiting list, and if there's some last minute dropouts,
but yeah,
so I kind of capped it at 50 people, and I think we have 52 reservations.
Wow.
And a few waiting lists.
Okay. So I'm glad we got ours in
early.
So everyone else can just press against the window and watch as this meal takes place at Fulio's.
So if people do want to get on the waiting list, just
they
in the
can
event
call
they
Fulio's
might.
At 325-9001.
Great. And maybe if enough of you call for a waiting list, you might do another one.
Maybe, yeah. But, you know, let's kind of switch it up here. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Is the film a suggested donation or is there a price to the film?
Oh, that's a great question.
It's a suggested donation. That's what we've done with all of the films. You know, we want people, because it's a donation. I mean, whatever we raise from the film goes to help build this kitchen at our new building that we're going to be using to teach classes and do demonstrations. And so if people can pay a small amount, we don't want to turn anyone away because they can't afford the ticket. But if they can be more generous, knowing that all of the funds that we raised that night are going to this cause, that's great. And we'll gladly, appreciately say thank you. And we can write a receipt if you need one, because we are a 501c3 charity. So.
And then the other thing is, I kind of love the whole idea of the food web. And, you know, I've been at this for a while.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I can remember working at a restaurant in California when We Are the World started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
I remember,
you know,
that, yeah.
Where Wolfgang Puck still worked at Ma Maison, and he was just opening Spago.
Yeah.
And so he was just up the street, and many of those people would come into this little restaurant that I was the manager at. I wasn't even
in the kitchen. Totally.
Well, I was the owner said, hey, you're a pretty good cook. Why don't you do dinner specials? And so I did a few dinner specials. I had like 4 little items that I would cook. And anyway, you know, I watched this whole growth. I mean, it was, you know, as things turned into from We Are the World, and it just took off. And the whole press for local or organic and you know, that,
well,
that was just being, you know, Nouvelle Cuisine was just coming around, and that whole thing kind of changed the way big companies and individuals and chefs and restaurateurs looked at what they were serving.
Yeah.
The thing I remember in that whole shift, like I always think about Alice Waters in California, certainly changed our desire for food. And I remember going out to restaurants kind of before that started happening. And no matter what you ordered, there was the little dish of, it was often thinly sliced zucchini and carrots, you know, just kind of generic
stuff. Your side vegetable.
Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I went, when I moved to Portland, I went to Corey Schreiber's
Wildwood.
And was just so excited because every entree that you ordered had a different side. You know, there was a pairing that happened with that, and it talked about what farm this came from, and, you know, which person grew this vegetable, and where did this meat come from. I just thought that was such an exciting thing to be able to experience that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, people said, well, why did you come to Astoria? And part of it was, why did I come back to Astoria, and why did I do what I was doing? I mean, Corey and Vitaly Paley and Philippe Boulot and Chris Israel, David Machado, those are all people that I I mean, I got back to Portland in 1992. I was mm-hmm. right alongside those guys, and that's fine. They're Greg Higgins. They're all, you know,
certainly created a shift in Portland.
They created a shift in Portland. So the way I looked at it was, go to a supermarket and look at what they have in their produce section. Those are not random store manager decisions. Those are decisions made by the data miners. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go through a checkout stand, that data is compiling in a huge data bank, and they have really got that figured out about. They've got it figured out where they can change their pricing in some places by the hour, by the day of the week. They know what pattern. Mm-hmm. You know, over time, it creates a pattern. Mm-hmm. It's something you can look at and understand. And so when you go in a produce section and you see suddenly back in the 70s, mm-hmm. if you went to the produce section, you might have a small produce section, and you had some tomatoes and some iceberg lettuce, and you know, you were lucky if there was just some regular parsley there, and there was a lot less stuff.
Yeah.
The reason they put those produce sections are so much more bountiful now is because people want that.
Yeah.
And the reason there's a food network and all these cooking shows are people want that.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that has become a shift. You mentioned Alice Waters and some other people, Southern California's Wolfie, all those kinds of people have helped create this shift. And
people seem to care what food tastes like more. I mean, that concept, it's not just a tomato, it's a tomato that tastes like a tomato. Or, you know, food has different qualities, and appreciating that sometimes there's variation and that the flavor is an important component to it. It's not just shelf stability.
And I think that's the next shift that's really happening. You know, we've gotten so used to being able to go in the grocery store and anything and everything is available, we've forgotten what really is in season. Like, oh, I can't get asparagus, or I can, but you know, it may not be delicious. And people are really looking more and more about what is fresh, what's in season, what can I get from someone local? Do I know where my food came from?
Yeah, people really want the story.
Oh,
yeah. They really want the story. Yeah. Food has a story, where it comes from, who produced it, how it got here. And when you look around at our town, for instance, it's amazing. Marianne and I have known each other for quite a long time and watched things change in this community. And, you know, people want that connection. They want the chef-driven connection to the food. They feel like there's a person involved in the production of the food. Mm-hmm. That's what they want.
And the thing I'm most excited about is people are wanting to learn how to cook that food. It's wonderful to be able to go out to a terrific restaurant and have somebody prepare your meal for you. But it's quite another thing to be able to feed yourself day in and day out.
But they're also excited about how to grow it and who's growing it. You know, and I certainly see that at the farmer's market when people come to buy from our farm, but also people wanting to buy plants to grow food for themselves. And that's, you know, we're going to be participating in the Master Gardeners Spring Into Gardening event during the day on April 11th. It's from 9 to 2 out at the fairgrounds. And that's just an all day of, you know, workshops and cooking demonstrations from FoodWeb. And there's going to be a whole bunch of farmers out there because we're kind of hosting our Meet Your Farmer event at Spring Into Gardening. But then a lot of other people it's like basically just getting people excited about gardening and growing. And the whole theme this year is about food. And I think that's because, you know, the Master Gardeners recognize it too. People are excited about growing food. They want that freshness. They want that flavor. And I've been asked in the past, you know, aren't you worried about, you know, home gardeners growing all their food, then they won't need to come buy it from your farm? And I'm like, no, because they're never going to grow everything. And, you know, there's room. I'm just thinking that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, for people cooking at home and learning how to cook at home, that doesn't mean they're not going to want to go out and eat at a restaurant. They're going to want to experience that as well. So I think there's room for all of these things. It's just, I'm excited about people being excited about good tasting food.
Well, and that's, you know, That's very true. And even as a restaurateur and crafting a menu, I don't put salmon on my menu. I sell salmon when it's local and fresh. I purposely created an Italian restaurant, mostly because Italian food kind of is, I think there's something about it that I'm not Italian, but I've been Italian approved by a lot of Italians.
I want to know how to be that. I think I'm Italian.
I think it's
there
in my heart. I'm
is
an
there
Italian
a secret handshake?
No. You know, there's a funny deal. Roger Moore used to tell this story of the European version of heaven. The British are the police. The French are the cooks. The Italians are the lovers. And the Swiss are the accountants.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love it.
In the European hell, the British are the cooks. The French are the police. The Italians are the accountants. And the Swiss are the lovers.
Okay, that's hilarious. I love that.
I hope I didn't offend anybody.
Or everybody.
Or everybody.
It was an equal opportunity.
Hey, you weren't making Scandinavian jokes, and that's probably okay.
Yeah, we should be good.
In this community, I think we're okay. Oh,
but anyway, you know, when you're crafting your menu, you do, the Italians have got a great love for seafood.
Yeah.
You know, but I looked around, and I thought, okay, I need an Italian. We need an Italian restaurant, and I had worked in some Italian restaurants, some notable ones in Portland, and then I opened one that was a little bit of a modern version of it. There was kind of portions of it were an Asian and Italian fusion, and but there's a lot of traditional things there also, and so, you know, utilizing our fresh fish, whatever I call my fish guys a couple times a week and figure out what's really good. Like, unfortunately, our gillnetters were shut down in Young's Bay. There's lots of fish there, but you know, that's politics. But there's some rockfish that's been spectacular lately. Spectacular rockfish. And use it.
What's that one thing? I always think restaurants have a dish that it's that thing that you can't take off the menu. Like, what's that one thing for Fulio's that you don't dare take
There's not
off?
One, but certainly seared Caesar salad can't go off of the menu.
Yeah.
The butternut squash ravioli with curry cream.
I love butternut squash ravioli.
A number of those things like that.
Yeah, so. Wow. Well, I just want to remind everybody that coming up this Saturday, you can go and see Big Night. If you've been lucky enough to get a ticket to the dinner,
come
you can
dine
just
with us.
Roll over to the film afterwards. We all want to hear about it. So the film will be showing at the Columbian Theater, Big Night. It's going to be showing at doors open around 9. Film shows around 9:30. There'll be appetizers and cocktails at the Voodoo Room. And if you're into gardening and wanting to learn about growing your own food, stop by Spring Into Garden, the Master Gardener Show. It's at the County Fairgrounds. Food Glorious Food, April 11th. It's from 9 to 2, and there'll be lots of great stuff going on there. And I believe Ann Goldine's going to be talking about that tomorrow on her show as well. So thank you so much for... Thanks, you, Pete. I really appreciate you coming talking to us.
Thanks, Peter. And thanks to our engineer, Marianne, and to Luke and Katie for our theme song. And thanks for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast.